It's time to dive into the latest news and updates from the Vegas Golden Knights. This is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
On a hump day Wednesday, Dave Gosher, Shane Knighty with you, Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas. Great to have you with us. Day two of the NHL's offseason on the 30th of September. Well, here we are, and the NHL with a lot of things going on, Shane. Of course, 2 days removed from the Tampa Bay Lightning winning the Stanley Cup, their second in franchise history. And now a lot of eyes turn towards the new season, next season. When that's going to begin, who knows? Your guess is as good as mine. But if and when it does begin, now the wheels are in motion towards that, right? You've got a buyout period right now that goes until October 8th with contracts. The draft next week will have full coverage from up at Rock Creek, and then free agency coming up next Friday. So a lot of wheels in motion towards whenever the new season's going to be.
And it's interesting because when did the Tampa Bay Lightning last win Stanley Cup?
04.
What happened the next season?
They didn't play any hockey games.
So the last time they won, they did not have a banner raising that next season. They didn't know when it would happen. And it's kind of, I guess, a little ironic and maybe unfortunate for them. They win it again, and now hopefully there will be this time. We know the collective bargaining agreement's in place. It's just other issues this time. But it's kind of strange in a way. The last time the Lightning won the Stanley Cup fell on a season that was not to be.
Yeah, so who knows when they're going to have their banner raising, whenever that may be. Cup ring.
I don't think they care that much, yeah, but
no.
Just an interesting fact.
So we mentioned the buyout period, which is underway, and it goes through next Thursday. I'm going to read you a tweet. It's a couple of tweets from somebody. Let's see if you can guess who this might be that got bought out today. Thinking of all the great teammates I got to play with as a Ranger, so many good players, fun characters, great people that made the last 15 years such a blast. Thanks, guys. No team at this level ever functions without a great support system from its staff. You guys make work every day the best, and I'll miss you. A couple of more tidbits. Playing for a franchise with such passionate and committed fans makes all the work you put in worthwhile, and winning at the Garden always gave me special energy, joy, and satisfaction. This great city has now been my home for a long time, and so much love about this place. Just paraphrasing a little bit. And one last, that was basically the end of it. Be kind and respectful. Appreciate you always, New York City. I'll see you around. Henrik Lundqvist.
The King.
No longer a New York Ranger. Once thought maybe impossible to even fathom that. But you know what? I'm going to just kind of diverge a little bit. I never thought I would see Tom Brady playing a different jersey, right?
Wayne Gretzky.
You couldn't fathom that thought. And it still looks strange to me. It's only been a couple of games to see Tom Brady playing a different jersey. Henrik Lundqvist seems like he's made for New York. The looks. Oh. The atmosphere, all he's got going on. He's going to have to carry that if he wants to a different place now.
Well, it is a business, and it's the unfortunate. 38 years old for Lundqvist, but what he did in his 15-year career with the New York Rangers is quite remarkable. Like a seventh-round pick back in 2000, but, you know, led the franchise, you know, in everything. And this is not just any franchise. This is the New York Rangers. It's quite, you know, the Rangers leader in wins, shutouts, games, starts, saves, time on ice, and points by a goal. He's also the postseason leader in wins, shutouts, games, starts, saves, and time on ice. Just a phenomenal career as a Ranger. He leaves a legacy. That's few players you can say leaves a legacy with an organization, but Henrik Lundqvist, number 30, certainly will be in the rafters at MSG sooner than later. Incredible career there as a New York Ranger. And you said he embodied everything about New York. He had the looks, the way he carried himself, best dressed guy in the NHL, just really fit with the New York. And, what a career he's had. Is it over? I think he's right now. He'll probably take some time. Could he play? Absolutely. I think, he's not a number one anymore. Age catches up with him, but certainly would be a valuable piece to any team as a 1B.
38 years old, as you said, Shane, 15 years on Broadway, Vezina winner in 2012. But you could see the writing on the wall. He only started one of the last 19 games before the pause for the Rangers. They have Shesterkin and Georgiev that are the future. Lundqvist did play two of their three playoff games, though, against Carolina because Shesterkin was hurt. Shesterkin played the third game, and they lost in three straight in that qualifying round to Carolina. But just what he's meant to that franchise over the years. And you think about, you know, the New York Rangers, an original six team. No one has ever won more games in the history of that franchise than Henrik Lundqvist. The only missing
piece.
That's
just a remarkable thing to say.
Yeah,
original
it's crazy. Team. The only missing piece is a Stanley Cup. But you think about it. So they went 52 years when they stopped that streak in 1994 with Mike Richter and Brian Leetch and Mark Messier. It's been 26 years since then. The New York Rangers have won one Stanley Cup, if my basic math is, in 78 years. It's hard to believe.
Well, the last time they're in the Cup Final was now a Golden Knights player that ended it for him, Alec Martinez.
That's right. Exactly right. So, and you know, you look at it, and there's going to be a lot of discussion between now and, you know, free agency kicks in next Friday, October 9th. But, you know, teams and the Rangers.
Well, think of all the goalies.
All the goalies that are out there. But I was going to say the Rangers now have over $23 million in cap space available. They traded Mark Stahl over the weekend to Detroit, freed up a lot of money, bought out Kevin Shattenkirk, by the way, not too long ago, buy out Lundqvist. They get a lot of money to spend.
One of the quickest youth movements we've seen. They just, it seems like not long ago, they just sent out a letter to their fans that they were going to take a completely different direction, go young, rebuild. Well, they're competitive already. And now with that cap space, obviously, Artemi Panarin was a huge signing for them.
What spot do they have in the draft coming up? Number one.
Yeah.
So that'll help.
Yeah, and they also won
Alexei
that,
Lafreniere. So. They had Kaapo Kakko went number two in the draft recently. So, yeah, for a team, and I had kind of forgot about this, and you mentioned the letter, right? The letter that they sent out to fans 2 years ago, which is almost unheard of. Teams usually don't say publicly. They might show it by their actions.
Just stick with us. Have patience.
Yeah. Well, they very rarely say, this is the plan. But they did. You know, we're going to rebuild, and Lundqvist wanted to be a part of that. You know, they went to him basically. I would think a couple of years ago. I mean, he's an enormous part of that franchise. Do you want to be part of it? He said yes, but you don't know what the future holds. And here we are 2 years later.
Well, and if he comes back, he's going to be looking for a team he believes has an opportunity to win the Stanley Cup. That's you said the only thing missing from this great resume. And it's interesting. I heard a story where I used to work at TSN in Canada, where Craig Button works, and he was the general manager of the Dallas Stars back 2000 when. And then he moved to Calgary, I believe, that year. But scouting for the draft. And he went over to Sweden to the Lundqvist family. And for those who don't know, Henrik has a twin brother named Joel Lundqvist. And he
played a little bit in the league,
yeah,
right?
So he went to the house to visit Joel. And the family's saying, we got, you know, our other son. And Joel's saying, my brother also plays goal. He said, no, we're not worried about that. We're just here to see you. And Lundqvist was Joel Lundqvist was drafted in the third round, 68th overall by Dallas. Henrik had to wait till the seventh. Joel, you know, he's had a great career overseas. He played 134 NHL games, but not a very long career compared to his brother. It's kind of funny, though. You know, you go over, they're trying to promote, you know, Henrik, but it was Joel who was the, you know, the more coveted brother at that time when the draft was around. So
his own brother, his own twin, tried to tell Craig Button, by the way, I got a brother that plays net.
He plays good.
He's fine.
No, it's all right. We're here to see you.
You never know what's going to happen to those seventh round picks.
No, you don't. I was a seventh round. That's,
you could be
sitting
right
here.
That's
a beauty round.
Yep, that's right. But, you know, and how inexact a science it is, right? I mean, he's sitting there and sitting there and sitting there, and now he's, you know.
He's a Hall of Famer.
Now he's a Hall of Famer. Yeah, exactly. And now the question is going to be, you know, where there's so many goalies out there. We've run them all down, you know, and starting here with, you know, Leonard and Holtby and right on down the line. Hudobin.
And he's in a unique position. If he decides, so right now he'll take time, I would imagine, then decide, you know, whether it's a few days or whatever before free agency hits. And if he wants to come back, he doesn't need the money. So right now it is all about winning the Stanley Cup for him, and where is that going to present the best option for him? I'm sure he'll get offers. Believe me, there's going to be teams that say, hey, we'd love to have you. Not only I still think he can play and provide some very valuable time in net. He won't be the number one guy. I think he could step up for periods. But he's also going to be a valuable asset in the room. Experience, quality human, beloved by all his teammates. Anybody's on social today, the outpouring of support and love he got from anybody he played with, anybody tied to the New York Rangers organization, just speaks of the character he has. So, you know, a lot of qualities that are very attractive to a team that's very close and considers themselves a contender for the Stanley Cup.
Estimated career earnings, $99 million.
So he can take any deal he wants.
He's fine. Yep.
Because, you know, it is going to be cash-strapped teams that are up against it that are, you know, the ones considered the favorites.
It's interesting how they've approached it, right? They've, you know, and they've freed up all this money, and you've got, you know, John Davidson, Jeff Gorton, and David Quinn, the coaching staff, Chris Drury's in that mix of but it's been quick, you know, and the way that the league is structured now, Shane, you don't have to have 4, 5, 6 down years in a row. You know, there's some – you're not getting out of jail free because it counts against – you know, there's a cap hit when you buy a player out. But you don't have to go through these years of misery to get high picks and wait for them to develop and then, you know, add a couple of pieces. You can kind of do it to a certain degree on the fly, and that's what they're trying to do.
And they've done a real good job. Yeah. You know, they've got a real good young defensive group. They made a trade for Jacob Trouba, signed him long-term. You know, Luke Fox they were able to acquire.
Adam Fox, sorry. Luke's brother. I don't know if he has a brother, but no. We'll just say he does.
Sorry, Adam Fox. Yes. You know what I meant. That's why we do it together. We think the same. But, you know, just some guys that really stepped up. A young group of players at Fearless, and I think Dan Quinn, who you know.
Yes, David Quinn.
I said Dan on purpose just to make sure you got that one.
What do you think? I'm zoned out.
That one was for you to make sure because he's from Rhode Island. So that's why I'm trying to trick Dave.
The Ocean State.
David Quinn, you know, who just a real good job with – I think, you know, they brought him in because college, great coach, great at developing young players and understands how to converse, how to get the most out of these guys, and he's been able to do it quickly.
The Rangers, Henrik Lundqvist, 6th all-time in wins. 7 behind, Marc-Andre Fleury, and 459 career wins, and likely still more to come if he decides that he still wants to play. There's also, while we're on the topic, Shane, of, you know, players that are going to Bobby Ryan already bought out by Ottawa. There's been a lot of talk. Kyle Turris has 4 years left on his 6-year deal with Nashville. Just hasn't.
Fell out of favor. You know, it started with Peter Laviolette of Nashville, and then, you know, new coach comes in John Hines, and still, you know, just – you know, it's not a good sign when a new coach comes in and you can't get back to that level of play you need for your contract. So, you know, some decisions. And with the flat salary cap for a lot of teams, the buyout period will be interesting.
The other thing I find fascinating too, Shane, and we'll get to it and we'll talk a lot about it, you know, be it today or over the next week or so, as we said, we'll have full coverage for the entry draft next Tuesday and Wednesday from Rock Creek, and then we'll have a free agency show coming up. Next Friday is the world we live in. We started this all off with, and you mentioned Tampa Bay, when are they going to raise their cup banner? We don't know that. You know, the league's targeting early December. I think that's very flexible at best. Most of us think it'll be in the new year. You know, what sorts of contracts are going to be out there for players? Some players are going to get their money. But are there going to be signing bonuses and bonus money?
RFAs.
Teams right now from a – ticket revenue standpoint, and they might start next season without fans. You know, I don't – some players are going to get their money. Alex Pietrangelo is going to get paid. Torrey Krug is going to get paid. Others, you know, upper echelon guys. But other guys that are – they might have to just deal with the world we're living in right now that's not going to be there for them the way they had hoped anyways.
And what's intriguing to me, and, you know, yes, we want everything to get back as quickly as possible, but it also makes it interesting that this draft week coming up and free agency – the trades, teams are going to try and free up, you know, whether it's a move of a player that it would normally, but you need to free up space if you want to make a move. It's going to be – there could be some exciting times going forward. And, you know, next week, as you mentioned, we'll be up at Rock Creek. Not only the draft for these young players, but some of the movement might happen around the league. Should be fun.
Yeah, fascinating times. But that's really the big news today coming out of the NHL. Henrik Lundqvist, 15 years on Broadway, but a Ranger no more. Their winningest goaltender in team history bought out today by the Blue Shirts. It's nighttime at noon. A reminder for you, friends, that you can join other Golden Knights fans around the world with VGK Worldwide. Join the official global fan club of the Vegas Golden Knights and become a premium member by visiting VGKWorldwide.com and purchasing your kit today. Premium members receive access to exclusive merchandise, exciting contests, and specialized content. Don't miss this opportunity to be a part of painting the globe gold by joining VGK Worldwide. Dave and Shane with you on a nighttime at noon Wednesday. The Tampa Bay Lightning are the 2020 Stanley Cup champions. They got back to Tampa yesterday from the bubble in Edmonton with the cup in tow. They're going to have a celebration, at least some form of one, later on today in Tampa. We'll kick around the road that the Lightning took to win the Stanley Cup this year when we come back. Nighttime at noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
We're back to Nighttime at Noon on your home for the Vegas Golden Knights, Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Dave Gosher, Shane Knighty with you, Nighttime at Noon today. The last day of September. Hard to believe. Day two of this offseason for the NHL, and just 2 days removed, not quite two full days removed, from the Tampa Bay Lightning winning their second ever Stanley Cup, a 2-0 shutout win in Game 6 on Monday night over the Dallas Stars. Andrei Vasilevskiy, Shane, who's fantastic at the playoffs, his first ever playoff shutout is Game 6 to clinch the Stanley Cup. But, you know, the road that this team took, when you look at the teams they beat in the playoffs this year, right? You had teams that were fantastic defensively, Columbus, Boston, the Islanders, and Dallas. In the regular season, Boston, Dallas, and Columbus were 1-2-3 in team defense. The Islanders were tied for sixth. And the Lightning coming off, you know, it's taken 5 or 6 years. I know we focus on last year. But 2015, lose to the Chicago in the final.
Conference finals, Stanley Cup final.
There was a did not qualify for the playoffs in that mix. Yeah. How to win in the playoffs. And they figured that out with this group where it's not going to be 6-5, 5-4 some nights, but to be able to shut it down, and they certainly did in Game 6.
Well, and credit to some of the moves they made. A lot of people questioned them giving up too much. You know, Blake Coleman, Barkley Goodrow, those guys were key components, picking up like Luke Shen, Zach Bogosian,
Kevin Shattenkirk.
Yep. Players like this that were kind of forgotten about, those three defensemen I just mentioned, kind of all on their way out. Bogosian had his contract, you know, terminated with Buffalo. Shattenkirk, you know, didn't work out at all with New York Rangers, and they go in a huge part of this final, but they added the character and some pieces that team needed to win. It is hard to win the Stanley Cup. You have to go through some agonizing previous seasons and losses and learning lessons, but they figured out. And what I like about it, to me, the best team won. Tampa Bay was the better team. They deserved to win. And they were able to pull it out. Dominating performance, I thought, in Game 7. A little push from Dallas late in the third. But outside of that, really not much going on. And you mentioned Vasilevskiy, how good he was after a loss.
Well, John Cooper and his team, so they get back to Tampa yesterday. They're going to have some version of a boat parade today, later today, 2 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, 5 Eastern. So not that long from here. So we've walked to the rink there in Tampa, Shane. I never knew until today or yesterday, the Hillsborough River, that's the river that kind of would run adjacent to Amalie Arena. So they're going to have some version of a boat parade. They're going to end up at Raymond James Stadium, the home of the Bucks. I think they said they're going to allow 16,000 fans there, socially distant. But you got to make the most of it, right? You know, they come back, they'll have some sort of a celebration today, and then who knows when they're going to raise the banner. Do you think when I watched the postgame coverage the other night, NBC and NBCSN, I didn't see anybody drinking out of the cup.
I did.
Did you? So they were allowed to do that? Well, I don't know if they were allowed. They just decided on their own.
They 100 days together.
I think
anywhere to do it would be in the bubble. I don't know about now that they're outside.
Yeah.
If that the rules might change now with them being outside. But, you know, in the bubble, the numbers came out yesterday. They had a total of 33,394 COVID tests administered with zero positive results.
Zilch.
So in the bubble, drinking out of the cup, to me, non-issue.
Yeah, I just didn't know. There were some family members around, but they had to all test, right? Yeah. They all had to all be
everybody
in the quarantine.
So anybody in that bubble, so that was a secure environment, and they did enjoy. I saw some of the guys drinking.
Well, as they should. And we'll get to, you know, kind of what happens now with cup days and everything else. But before we get to that, John Cooper, he was asked after the game the other night, what was the motivation for his group to get over the top? And he said heartbreak. The heartbreak of what happened the year before. But he really kind of gave a pretty thoughtful and thorough answer as he sums it all up, his team winning it all this year.
It's easy to talk about now. And you think about things you got to hang your hat on or things that, you know, you want to believe. But the bottom line is you don't, like, there are some gifted people, I guess, that success finds them instantly. But in a team sport, I truly believe that failure, you have to feel it before you can have success. And I guess there's some blessed ones that don't have to go through that, but it makes it, you wear the bumps, you wear the bruises, you wear the heartache, you wear the feelings, you wear it on your sleeve, and it keeps you up at night. But it also drives you, and it almost becomes, the fear of losing becomes greater than the joy of winning. And we were not going to be denied, and as a staff, but our players weren't going to be denied. And you know, we got to get up here and talk about and own it and what happened last year. But so do the players. Like, the players took it on the chin. And I can't be happier for those guys because they deserve it. Those guys have gone through so much heartache, and to come back year after year, and take our swings and take our licks and sit here all of a sudden be talked about as, you know, the kids that were, oh, they're going to be here every year. And now we were talked about as the team that can't get it done. Well, you know what? We got it done. And it wasn't without failures along the way.
That is John Cooper. Well put. What they went through, and they heard about it ad nauseum for basically a full year, what happened last year. And here they are winning it. Steven Stamkos played 2 minutes and 47 seconds in the Stanley Cup playoffs. But the impact that he had in those 2 minutes and 47 seconds, the lift he gave that team. I didn't think about it that it could have gone the other way. Shane, we had Keith Jones on the other day, and we asked him about Stamkos coming back, and he said, yeah, the lift was unbelievable initially, but then he said there could have been a big letdown because he couldn't play anymore, right? He didn't play after the first period. It did not have that effect on that team, and obviously they were able to pull through and win it all.
And I think because he came back on the bench, he was still there with his team in that game. He didn't leave completely, which I think was very important in that moment. And, you know, in his short time, what a goal he scored. What we're used to, one of the best pure goal scorers in the National Hockey League over the last decade. And, you know, he's been with that organization since day one. He's been through all these ups and downs. Sure, he would have liked to have been part of it, but I think he was a key factor behind the scenes for this team. He was the leader. He heard it from all the players on the Tampa Bay Lightning, how important he was to the group. And it is. It's not only the guys on the ice. It takes the guys behind the scenes that are there, and sometimes they can give them a different message watching from above and how it goes. I also, interesting, he said how much more nervous he was watching the games than being part of it. But, Steven Stamkos, huge lift he gave. That goal they'll talk about for a long time. That one shift, it was a great play by Hedman, goes down the wall, the right side, scores top corner, kind of, you know, exactly what you would expect from Steven Stamkos, a healthy one. But he did it, was unable to, and it's interesting, I don't know if he was feeling great. Like, it's almost like they just put him in to do that and said, okay, that's enough. Take a seat. Thanks for coming out. Because you thought you would have put him in, you would have felt he was at that point where he'd be able to come back completely healthy, but those are the things you just can't predict.
Obviously, Victor Hedman wins the Conn Smythe. There's a lot of guys in the mix. You could make arguments for all of them, but Hedman was fantastic. Remember when he had his ankle buckle on him in the last game of the round robin?
I do.
People were like, what?
I remember us talking about it on the show.
What happens if he doesn't?
I said, if he doesn't come back, that's it for Tampa.
The next game was the 5-overtime game against Columbus, and he played 57 minutes and 38 seconds. So the ankle evidently was fine. Or whatever he needed to do to make the ankle fine, he was able to do. But just what a phenomenal run.
Well, he's a complete package. We talk about defense, we talk about, well, there's the guys that are have big size, good defensively, smart stick. Then there's these creative players, you know, a little smaller, shifty, really offensive, great at reading the play. Well, Smash it all together, you get a 6'6", 230-pound Swedish defenseman that can do all of that, can defend, can be physical, can jump in the rush, can command the power play, can break out the puck. So many plays started with him because of a good defensive play. We're really well-deserved for – he was my Conn Smythe. I think Braden Point maybe was my kind of 1B on that, but Victor Hedman, Roman Josi won the Norris this year and well-deserved, but Victor Hedman to me is right now the best defenseman in the National Hockey League and the world.
It hasn't been that long since a defenseman won it. Duncan Keith won it in 2015 for Chicago when they beat Victor Hedman in Tampa Bay, but just an incredible run for the Lightning and for Victor Hedman. It's nighttime at noon with Dave and Shane with you on this Wednesday. And a reminder for you that Bill and Carol Foley have created the Foley Food and Wine Society to celebrate three of their greatest passions: world-class wines, exceptional cuisine, and outstanding travel destinations. And as a member of the Society, you'll have access to their entire portfolio of properties around the globe. The Foley Food and Wine Society celebrates and offers exclusive opportunity to like-minded individuals who seek to experience the finer things in life. Check it out online and join for free today at FoleyFoodAndWineSociety.com. You would hope some Foley wine would be made available to us, Shane, during our time at Rock Creek next week.
I hope so.
I would hope so, if you could put in a request. Someone of your stature that would
perfect
carry
people
some,
to
that
try
would carry
it.
Some weight. We could do some sampling. So the Tampa Bay Lightning Stanley Cup champs. And when we come back, we're going to, in normal times, guys get their day or days with the cup. I don't know if any of that stuff's going to happen now, but there's a guy I'm sitting across from that won a Stanley Cup, had a day with the cup. I'd like to hear about his day with the cup, at least the version he could tell on air.
Well, my day with the cup was great.
After this.
The flight back was fantastic, too.
Nighttime at noon, Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Live from City National Arena, this is Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
There's been some legendary stories over the years of starting in 1995, the Devils won in the 95, that lockout shortened year. From that year forward, in normal times, so that's 25 years down the road, players from the cup-winning team, and Shane, you would know all about this, get their day. Some guys get more than one, whatever the case might be, with the Stanley Cup. There's been some. It hasn't always gone smoothly. 1999, the Dallas Stars win it. Guy Carboneau's at a pool party, decides to throw the cup off a deck of a house into the pool. Problem is, he misses the pool. Serious damage ensues. 1998, Chris Draper wants to take a picture of his daughter, young daughter, sweet little daughter, sitting in the Stanley Cup. You know what happens there. Had a problem with the, as babies do, they had to go to the laboratory. 1994, the Rangers win the cup, and they went to Belmont Park, Long Island, to let feed the Kentucky Derby winner go for gin. 8 out of the top of the Stanley Cup. We know the story about Burley Lemieux diving with it to the bottom of his swimming pool in 1991. Patrick Waugh tried to do the same thing in 93. So there's a lot of stories. Clark Gillies let his dog eat out of the Stanley Cup when the Islanders were on that run back in the day. Shane Knighty, what say you? What did the pride of Neepawa, Manitoba do with the Stanley Cup in 2011?
You missed a good story from our year in 2011.
Yes.
Michael Ryder in Newfoundland had his day with the cup, went to put it on a table. The table collapsed, and it dented the top of the cup. Which, being a Newfoundland, if anybody knows them, they just laugh it off. But they fix it quickly. But, yeah.
Can I add the Michael Ryder? So it's 9 years now.
Yeah,
right?
It's 9 years.
You guys, and I'm not there, but you guys go to Foxwoods.
Yes.
After the parade in 2011 in Boston. There's a million people in the street.
Yeah.
Foxwoods Resort Casino is in Connecticut, just over the Rhode Island-Connecticut border. You guys go there, the whole bit. Some people might know the story. There's a bar tab of $121,000, which is not legit.
No.
Somebody donated a $100,000 bottle of Magnum.
Yes, the casino
champagne.
Owner.
Yes, okay. So the real bill is $21,000, which you took care of that, not a problem.
Yes.
Okay. So somebody had one Amstel Light, which
still
a mystery
as to
who had
the.
But if you look at you have the picture of it. I've seen it you've shown me on your phone. There's, 185 Bud Lights, 120 Coors Lights, one Amstel Light. Yeah. But the story goes that the next day, you guys are going to have your team picture taken. Is that correct?
Yeah, the team picture and exit
exit interviews. So you guys stay at Foxwoods overnight. The next day, one person misses the bus.
And
it's not a short ride. It's 2 hours.
Short, but if you're not going to make it, you know, we made a decision. He can find his own way back, which he didn't.
Michael Ryder.
Yeah, and we had somebody stand in full gear.
Ryan Nato. Who's in the hockey operations for the Bruins. Great guy.
Yeah, so he stood in.
So he, in full equipment, right?
Was number 73 on, and we just they just photoshopped in the Michael Ryder mug, and away you go. You got your team picture.
How did he get back to Boston?
Cab, I believe, yeah.
Can you expense that, cab ride?
No, I'm sure he could cover
2 hours. Uber didn't exist back
then.
But anyway, so I didn't – I couldn't – whenever I think of Michael Ryder, I think of that story, him missing the bus back from Connecticut to Boston. All right, so you had – did you get – does it turn into a couple of days with the Cup, or did you just have one 24-hour period?
Well, it kind of turns into like a 24-hour period, but it depends where you are, what the logistics they float around. Like mine came from Johnny Boychuk, who was in Edmonton. Or no, sorry, Johnny got it after me. I meant to put a slip of note in there somehow for Johnny. It would have been great to do something, but I forgot anyways. So mine came into Winnipeg, and that's where I lived at the time. Did pictures with some family, but then I took it to my hometown, which is a couple hours away. We had a big fancy limo drive us the couple hours with my my family, and we celebrated on the way there. And then when we got to my parents' house, we had close friends and family, and then I celebrated with the town. And I think that's the big thing is a lot of these guys want to take it to, you know, where the grassroots hockey started. So many people that, you know, when you accomplish your long-lived dream, there's so many people that were there along the way when you were young, right from minor hockey when you started either 4, 5, 6 years old, coaches, people, influences, teachers. It was actually my grade two teacher who I was scared of in grade two, who was the first person. I took it to the arena, and I did there was 1,500 people in line, a town of 3,500.
So not quite half the town.
So a lot of pitchers, but my grade two teacher was the first lady to get pitcher with Stanley Cup and myself. So it was a pretty special moment. I shared it with the town, shared it with the family and friends at a big party. What I did, you can't do now. So it's interesting what these players are going to do and how they're going to handle it. But a special, special day, and it was really good. There's a keeper of the cup that follows it around and tries to maintain some peace at times.
Well, because they were throwing it off house decks in 1999.
I don't know what if I would. I never had that thought cross my mind to throw it off something.
No. How late into the night slash morning did it go?
Well, I was very fortunate. So a lot of times at that time, because it's a small town, there's not really an abundance of hotels for the keeper of the cup. Usually he takes it back around 1, 2 in the morning. But my mom's small town, she said, no, you're not staying in a hotel. I'll make the bedroom in the basement.
For the keeper of the cup.
For the keeper of the cup. So we were fortunate that he stayed. So we had it a lot longer overnight and partying in the wee hours of the morning. And then poor guy, those guys, they take turns. They do like 2 week shifts. They just must by the end of it be done, because he had to get up in the morning and then drive back to Winnipeg to catch a flight, because there's no airport in Nipawa, Manitoba.
Shocking.
At least not one that's going to take him to Edmonton. I might take him across to spray some fields, but that would be about it. So it's a tough job being the keeper of the cup.
Imagine having to check that thing. Did they check it in? Like, did it check luggage?
Yes. They.
Imagine that. Like, crossing
the airport. Yeah, probably. It commands attention everywhere it goes. You know, as soon as it gets to the airport. And it was a night I'll never forget. A day, a night, and it's one I hope that they figure out eventually for these Tampa players, because I think, you know, there's the celebration that's going on now. That's great. You win. The dressing room celebration is right up. That's, you can't wait. You're on the ice to lift it, to kiss it, you pass it around. But then it's to get to the room and to party, to have some fun. Then, you know, we were like Tampa. We had to fly back. The flight was a lot of fun. You try to stay up as long as you can. It's not a lot of sleep over the next few days for these guys. And then celebrating with the fans in the hometown and in the city they won. And it goes on. There's a point when it's okay. It's time to step back and you know, that'll happen in a few days for these Lightning players.
The league has said, for now anyways, the cup has to stay in Tampa in the world we're living in right now. So is that flexible, fluid? Sure. I think as you get maybe a little bit further down the road, guys might be able to have their days.
Well, there's going to be a lot of logistics, right? There's some Canadian players that
can't cross the border. U.S., we're not. I don't think we're allowed to go to Europe right now. Yeah. The EU European. Is that's all shut down. But I found Shane, you know, in 2011, you know, certainly I didn't get a day with a cup, but I went to a few cup parties. And what I thought was fascinating was I always thought when you went to a cup party, but I think as you get later into the night that you could certainly speak to this.
I left early.
Yeah, in bed by 9. I always thought if you went to a cup party, you could go there, lift it up, drink out of it. That's not the case.
No.
But at least the ones I was at.
Not nowadays because there's insurance, right?
Insurance.
So even when I was home, anybody that wanted to touch or lift the cup, I had to have a hand on it.
Yeah. So you would, our boss, Eric Tosi, had a party, had the cup for the day, and went up there, and it was fantastic. But you could, and then the Jacobs family and all the Bruins, I was at their event. I was lucky enough to get to a few. But you could put your arm, as you said, the whole on a table. Yeah. You could put your arm around the cup. You could touch the cup. You could not lift it over your head. You sure as heck could not drink out of it in a open setting party like that. So how did it work at your party later in the night? You know, could guys, after a few sodas and the keeper of the cups had a couple, was there a little looseness in that rule as to
Let's
who can lift it
was.
Up and who can?
Let's just say
just
there
for
was.
The sake of argument, let's just
I
say
don't know
there
if
was.
There was so much lifting.
But it's pretty strict, which it should
be. It was pretty strict, absolutely, because there's some restrictions, but I think there was some drinking out of the cup. I do believe. I know for a fact, actually, we took one point in the evening because we held the celebration in the arena, my hometown, a small arena. And a group of my buddies, when we won provincials when we were, I think we won it a couple of years ago, like around 12 to 14 years old. And my one buddy, there were six of us, he got the jerseys we won in. And we all put them on and we went up to the dressing room there and kind of held a little like celebration like you do after the game. And those guys... all had, you know, we had the champagne and we all drank out of the cup and sprayed it. And it was actually, I think that pitcher made, they take some of them from everybody's thing that makes the, you know, the Hall of Fame kind of their website. And that one made it, the group of us in these jerseys. Some guys fit them a little tight. We all did, but some guys more than others. But it was, that was a special moment because these were the guys I kind of grew up with and playing minor hockey. And I was able to bring the cup back to these guys. Because I don't know how many times we played road hockey or whatever, pretending to play for this thing and to bring the physical Stanley Cup back and let these guys celebrate with it was a special moment as well.
Well, as you said, it garners so much attention wherever you see it, whenever you see it. You know, there's always been this superstition that unless and until you're on a team that wins it or involved with a team that wins it, you're not supposed to touch it. You're not supposed to go anywhere near it, which – yeah, not, I have no impact now, but I never went anywhere near the Stanley Cup. I saw it at the Hockey Hall of Fame. Well, that was it. I didn't go anywhere near the thing until you guys.
Let's hope we get a closer look someday.
2011.
Dave.
Yeah. Well, and the nice thing for you was that was it, right? You go out, Stanley Cup champ, and then you know, it's always that, and not talking about now because it's such strange times, but at some point you have to flip the page to the next season.
Very fortunate. Very fortunate. And as we talked, there's so many great players, and we talked about one on top of the show that have amazing careers that didn't and were unable to experience winning the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, when you think about, Joe Thornton's played 22 years. He's never won it. It took Ray Bourque 22 years Joe Pavelski. You know, there's so many great players that have never had I've never had that opportunity, but fortunately you did, and now the Tampa Bay Lightning are going through it, and hopefully they'll be able to get their day or days with the cup as we move forward. Nighttime at noon with Dave and Shane with you from our studios here at City National Arena on a Wednesday. As we told you, the big news around the NHL today, Henrik Lundqvist bought out by the New York Rangers. The King on Broadway for the last 15 years will be moving on from Midtown Manhattan. Reminder, friends, to stop by and visit where we are right now, City National Arena. Located in downtown Summerlin, bring the family to learn to skate like the pros at the official practice facility of your Vegas Golden Knights. For hours and programming, visit citynationalarena.com. When we continue on Nighttime at Noon, of course, it is October 1 tomorrow. The Golden Knights and the organization will be active in the community. We'll touch on a little bit of that, and Shane and I will have some reflections on what 1 October means to us. That's after this. Nighttime at Noon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
We're back to Nighttime at Noon on your home for the Vegas Golden Knights, Fox Sports Las Vegas.
A few minutes to go with Nighttime and Noon. Dave and Shane with you on a Wednesday. A reminder for you, Rock Creek Cattle Company is a hidden gem located in the heart of Montana. And this 28,000-acre cattle ranch has a little something for everyone. World-class golf, fly fishing, hunting, horseback riding, and lots more. Escape the bright lights and discover Big Sky Montana. Exclusive memberships and real estate opportunities are available now at Rock Creek Cattle Company. In English, rockcreekcattlecompany.com for more information. I'm going to be there. I just screwed that up, so they might not send me next week.
Might not be now.
But our full draft coverage will be next week at Rock Creek Cattle Company. Myself, Gary Lawless, and Shane will have all of our Nighttime and Noon shows, so we've got those all next week, except for one day where it'll be preempted by the draft going on live. But the other 4 days, we'll have all of our draft coverage from there. And our Nighttime at Noon shows from Rock Creek. Shane and I have not been, for whatever reason, we have not been invited until now, so we can't wait. Shane's going to leave tonight.
Don't screw it up for us. I'd like to get invited back.
Shane's going to leave tonight, do some, not really, but yeah, that'll be a blast. We'll have full coverage next week, and obviously a much different draft, Shane. All going to be virtual. You know, the NFL did, I thought, a terrific job with this, doing it virtually a few months ago. Now the NHL will have their crack at it, and we'll have it all covered for you. 1994? Yeah. What year? 1994, the Buffalo Sabres took a chance on a defensive from the Prince Albert Raiders?
Yes, it was a few years ago. Yeah. It's a special day for these players, you know, and I think – you know, they've all adapted right now. Normally, a lot of the interviews and that they would have went through, so have all been done virtually, as each and every team has, you know, the scouting staffs, the general manager, the hockey operations have held different interviews with players to get all their assessments, their evaluations done. And for these guys, it's going to be a virtual draft rather than being there in person with, you know, they'll still be with family and friends, but they'll make it work. As you said, the NFL did a great job of it, so a little different look, but a little different experience than being there in person.
So in 1994, the draft was where?
Hartford, Connecticut.
And the Sabres took the 173rd pick.
A seventh round pick on a
right shot defenseman from Neepawa, Manitoba. What was that day like?
Oh, it was a great day. It was a little stressful, and I know you guys all know the story, and people may have heard it, but there's a unique story to it because I was actually rated higher. You know, they have all – we see that. They have it now. They kind of place where people are going, maybe my testing wasn't so good earlier. I'm not sure what happened. But that said, I went there to Hartford with my family, and it is a little nerve-wracking sitting there when you think you're going earlier. And it finally came to the fifth round, I think it was. You know, I was a defenseman, as I mentioned, for Prince Albert Raiders in the Western Hockey League at the time. And the fifth round, the Boston Bruins pick. And I can't remember what number it was, but they get up, they announce the Boston Bruins would like to select from the Prince Albert Raiders. So at that time, I kind of, you know, you sit higher in your chair and they go, defenseman. And, well, boy, that's when the rear comes up. I start to stand. They go, Darren Wright. I'm like, what? I played with Darren. I had way better numbers. I had to wait a couple more rounds. So I got excited for a moment. It's funny, it was the Boston Bruins pick because that's kind of where I ended my career. But, drafted by Buffalo a little while later and got the jersey. There's a great photo with the whole highlights and everything. The whole 1994 look, young Shane Knighty.
A special day. Oh, yeah.
But yep. It's just, you know, and nothing actually ever came of me in the Buffalo Sabres. I kind of, you know, we never signed. And that's why these kids, this is the first step. Some of them will move on with those organizations. But it's certainly, if it doesn't work out, it is in the end.
Where were you? So you mentioned you were ranked a little higher. Like, where did you figure you would go?
I figured around the fourth, fifth round.
Okay.
I think, you know, you trust your agent at that time where they think you might go. And, it didn't happen.
So
Ed Jovanovski was number one that year.
Yeah. I believe. Oh, yeah. Yeah. To Florida.
To
obviously, yeah. So did you so you got – I have the
I partied like I went in the first round.
Drafted to the NHL.
Especially
why
when I went
you?
Back to Nipo. My buddies and everybody were quite excited.
So who would have been the GM for the Sabres? Do you remember back then? Was it I guess I could look it up. But John Muckler involved? No. Long time ago. I don't even know who the coach was back then, to be honest with you. But
Don Luce was one of in Hockey Ops was there.
All right. Well, so John Muckler. There you go. John Muckler. See, that's, I can tell you. Can't tell you where I had for lunch 2 days ago.
And then I played for John when I was in Ottawa. So eventually worked together. And then he traded me. So
so they had you, coached you, then didn't want you. Yeah. You know, that's well, that's great. You know, and as you said, this will be a much different deal coming up. Obviously, for everybody, Alexis Lafreniere, the consensus number one pick here to the Rangers.
No question. We know it's number one pick.
You know that much. So the. The rebuild for the New York Rangers is going to take another big step forward. Just a couple of closing thoughts here, Shane. Obviously, 1 October tomorrow, the Golden Knights, you know, it's been such a strong initiative and such a, you know, really to the core of this franchise to be involved in the community on 1 October. That'll be the case again tomorrow. Players, members of the organization will visit various different police precincts to lend their support. There's going to be a ticket donation. The Golden Knights have committed allocating 1,000 tickets to the 2021 season to first responders as well. There'll be a blood drive down at T-Mobile Arena starting at 11 tomorrow, running 11 to 6. So just a real important day, obviously, in the Valley and throughout Vegas. Dan Duva tomorrow, along with Gary Lawless, they'll have George McPheon, president of hockey operations, and also Derek Englund, who gave that just unforgettable speech at the first ever home game for the Golden Knights, which turned out to be October the 10th back in 2017.
Yeah, it's a day we'll all never forget. Unthinkable tragedy, and to certainly recognize those first responders, all those involved in, you know, helping it out. And that was, you know, the start of the Golden Knights connection with this city, and, you know, a day that we certainly will never forget, and one we'll recognize each and every year.
Yeah, that bond is will never be broken, right? In the backdrop of those horrific events on 1 October, and hard to believe now we're 3 years down the road, but a real special day in Vegas, real special day for the Golden Knights just to play a small part of it tomorrow. So, as again, Dan and Gary will have George McPhee and Derek Englund on nighttime at noon tomorrow, of course. Ryan Wallace, Darren Millard with the Insider Show coming up from 4 to 6. And once again, a reminder, full coverage from Rock Creek next week. The draft, 2 days worth of coverage, all the nighttime at noons, originating from Rock Creek as well. Our thanks to Jared Justin, also to Garrett Calloway for joining us here. And again, Dan Duva and Gary Lawless at the wheel tomorrow for nighttime at noon. Join them then. And again, Ryan Wallace, Darren Millard, the Insider Show, 4 to 6. Nighttime at noon, Dave and Shane saying have a great afternoon on Fox Sports Las Vegas.